Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big tech news that's not Apple related. There is no Apple on this show, and you can be free of all Apple, I promise. If we touch on it, then that's fair enough, just in passing. But generally speaking, we won't be discussing Apple. And making sure that we don't discuss Apple, first guest, Mr. Apple hater himself, Carrie Holzman.
It's more of an Apple apathy, but yeah, thank you for the kind introduction.
How you doing, buddy? I haven't seen you in a while. Well, we haven't done shows in a while either, that's fair. But
yeah, what's up with that?
Well, we had no internet at the new offices. You know we've got new offices, right?
No.
Yeah, no, we moved offices.
Didn't you just get new offices?
That's right. Well, we moved down here in July. And we didn't get any internet here until the 26th of September. That's how long it took.
Wow.
6 weeks to get it in. And now we've got 80 down and 20 up with WarwickNet. And it's very good, actually. It's a very good service. But I'm only limited to 500 gig a month as well, which is kind of taxing for a bloke who works in video.
So I guess PewDiePie wasn't lying about his whole delay in getting internet there in UK.
No, mate. It took us 6 weeks to get to super fast broadband because it's business. It's domestic, you get it tons quicker, but at the moment we're stuffed.
Thanks for having me here. It's good to be back.
Well, no, I say we haven't missed you on a lot of shows because we didn't
thanks
want
a lot.
You on. It's because we haven't done any shows, so really.
So then you didn't miss me?
No, you know what I'm saying. Stop twisting. Stop making it out to me.
Always having it large.
Are you well?
As far as I know, do you know something I don't?
Oh, are we going to speak in frigging riddles all night?
Do I look sick? What's going on? Am I okay?
Right. Yeah, okay. Let's keep this short then. Next to him, Rich.
You're looking good. Thanks
Hello.
For having me.
Broken mic stand, Rich, man. How much is that going to cost you? 60 quid?
Nearly. I think it was $10.99, so...
Well, no,
I'm surprised it lasted the year that it did.
You cheapskate. You buy a 50 quid one, it lasts you 20 years, mate. I know.
I've got one in the loft. Like that.
I've got one in the loft that's never run out. I don't use it much, I have to admit. But,
anyway. Well, that'll do it. But, yeah, it's been going for some time. At least I have a house full of audio equipment. So,
good man.
You know, it does have its upsides. So I keep telling Alison anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure that goes down well. Batwench is saying, is Carrie Holzman taking lessons from a woman? He's turning the words around like a proper pro.
Oh,
dear, mate. That's a woman. You've just been dissed by a woman with a woman comment. That's got to be bad.
That's just another Friday afternoon in my life.
Next to him, my compadre who took over last week in the hot seat, Righty Boy.
Hello, mate. Glad you're back.
You're good, mate. You were awesome. And you're going to do it next week for me? Because I'm out on Friday and next week.
So. I am. Okay, yeah.
Fine. No, I'm going to do the Mac show. You can do it for me again, because I've got the Mac show. I can do the Mac show in the afternoon, but then I've got to go out to work in the evening.
I'll do it for you anytime you want, mate.
Thanks, mate. And I can't believe you actually thought Muller was going to come round your house last week.
Oh, God. Do you know what? I called the police.
Will it you?
And I warned all my family. They're like, oh, that freak.
You can't believe that you were coming round, mate. Bad luck, mate. You were proper shitting yourself. He was going to turn up on the door, weren't you?
No, my wife would have killed him on the doorstep.
Until I pointed out he didn't know your address, and then it kind of sunk in that he was winding you up.
Yeah, but you know mine. I don't know what you're doing with it.
I hadn't given it to him. God, blimey. I don't know your address. Oh, I do, I suppose. No, I didn't. He delivered that thing, so I didn't even... No idea. And last but by no means least, the protagonist in all of that.
Will Green's here. Mate. Hello, mate.
Oh, fine. Chap. He wouldn't let me in the house. I was on his garden.
So 3 weeks now.
For
in
ages
a row,
on the lawn,
well done,
banging
mate.
On the door.
3 weeks? Yeah, what's that thing you left on my lawn?
Exactly.
The burning effigy of Righty.
On various sort of scientific projects that we discussed.
Well, I had set to go somewhere.
Last Friday's.
Are you well, mate?
I'm fine.
Okay. So we're talking teleportation here.
No, I've had a night out with the boys.
I think I've got it.
I'm feeling a bit weak.
You're having a laugh.
No, I'm not.
Did you do any drawings or not?
Come on, Muller.
Yes. So I drew a flux caster, which is like a triangle thing.
Two of us.
With light.
The week in tech, all the crap that's gone on, all the big stories that have happened. Who's going to be the fast-fingered Freddy and shove it? That's Righty Boy straight away. Look at that. Righty Boy says, Well, it's time to load this. Piccadilly Circus lights, facial detection system, incredibly intrusive. Tell us more, dude.
Well, yeah, I picked up on this the other day, and I thought, I was going through the tech news and going, nothing really interesting this week. But this really kind of intrigued me, because you've got those big screens down at Piccadilly Circus. I was down there last weekend, actually, seeing them being all built up again because they've been off for a while. But they're now saying that they've got 100 million people a week pass through there, each month pass through there. So they're going to put cameras in these screens now, and they've got facial detection in them. And you're like, okay, maybe they're looking for criminals and all that sort of thing. But they're going to look at our mood and how we feel. And I don't know if there's a general consensus about what people feel. They're going to put the ads up that are relevant. It's almost like a tracking cookie based on the way that you look.
Okay.
And that seems a little bit weird for me. It's got other things. That it's got like Wi-Fi stuff where you can control the stuff on the screens and all that sort of thing. But is that a little bit too far, I'm thinking? I know, you know, London's one of those places where they track people all the time and everything like that. And do I really want my mood to be broadcast on a huge, I don't know, 100-foot screen? You know, I'm looking a bit low, and it's going, oh, you need adult nappies or something like that. I'm not sure that that's the thing that I really want.
What bothers you about this then?
Well, we get tracked all the time, don't we? We're always tracked, and unless you're clever enough to get out of it. It's not for people like me, because I'm kind of good at getting away with it and not getting tracked here and there, but there's some privacy groups are saying this is a little bit of an invasion of privacy, and I think it is a little bit, because I don't know what the complete outcome of this is going to be, but based on your facial recognition, that facial recognition is probably going to be a police thing as well, I'm sure, because the amount of traffic they get through there, they're going to be looking for certain people. I kind of get that, and they're probably doing that on cameras already, but targeting ads based on the way that my mood is?
I don't know of any real stroppy ads, mate.
I don't know. Well, what do I do? Do I walk through Piccadilly Circus looking a bit moody, and I get a Prozac ad?
What if?
Hey, Ray, you're looking a bit shit.
call a doctor.
Mate, I've got to say, I think it probably has gone a bit far if it calls your name out, or it puts your name up and goes, oi, you there with the sad face.
Oh,
look up to MySpace and buy a Prozac.
Well, what stops them? You know, you think, like, all this AR stuff and everything. They've got these... Actually, no, I get this now. No, I didn't research this. I watch, like, the on-demand stuff on Channel 4 and things.
Right.
And I have to sign up for an account. And I'll put my name in and my email address and all that. And when you watch the advert, the advert says, hey, Paul, you've got a urinary infection. You need this. And it calls your name out.
What?
And maybe... Have you seen that before?
What, you've got a urine infection? And no, it was because you sent your email address in. It told you had a urine infection.
It's the first thing I care about is embarrassing.
I was trying to write the title down at the same time, but go on.
Have you seen this on, like, 4OD? Where if you signed up, the advert goes, hey, Paul, we've got some urinary infection things in Norwich. Because it knows who I am and where I am. And my wife and my daughter sit there pissing themselves. Quite
like you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I don't want you shouting my name at an advert. And this just seems like the next step of it. And I could, now I'm kind of seeing this coming with the kind of AR thing. It's like, I don't know, depressed man putting his hand on a wall. And they take a screenshot of your face. And you're the face on the bloody wall.
Well, they couldn't replicate your image without your permission. Feel safe. They certainly can't do it. They can do it for reportage without your permission, but they can't do it without your permission for advertising purposes. So they can't associate a product with your image.
Yeah. All I can think is going, like, photobombing this thing just to make it do something a bit weird.
No, it doesn't put your picture up. I can't see that.
No, it doesn't do that, but it's what to... At the point they thought, do you know what, we're going to replace the screen in Piccadilly Circus. What we're going to do is do facial recognition. We're going to look at if people are depressed. We're going to put depressed adverts on.
Anyone
got
else?
A multi-million dollar technology that is defeated with a $2 hijab. It's really easy to get around that. And then just change your name to Dickhead whenever you fill out any forms online. And then it'll say, hey, Dickhead. And, you know, nobody will know who it's talking to.
Buy your new hijab here.
Paul's family will.
Righty, are you going to start wearing a hijab then? Or what's the other, a niqab or that's it?
I'm going to start wearing a Mullah mask.
To be fair, we used to use facial tracking when I was in the job, and it don't work. It needs you to be facing the camera.
Will
by the
Green's
time
here,
the
hello,
system
hello,
chap. Had identified the person, they'd gone.
So 3 weeks now in a row you've been here. Well
done,
mate.
Got someone
three
actually
weeks,
there or thereabouts.
Weeks,
it was just pointless,
and
it cost an awful
hard
lot of money as well.
My various sort of scientific...
It probably has, because that was a while ago, but there were still limitations with how the camera tracks. Plus, the cameras were put in for CCTV purposes, for tracking footfall and crime. They're not meant for looking at faces. Well, not looking at faces for the computer. So I just found it just didn't work.
Okay.
Or didn't. But
they're probably building a database at the same time, aren't they?
There's always a database. Every time you get arrested, you get your photograph taken. It's on a form called a WC-208, unless they've changed it.
Yeah, and thanks to Deep Pan for selling Street More Cranberry Juices.
The thing is...
How do you know every time you get arrested you get your photograph taken?
Yeah, you do, even in America.
How do you know that?
Because they take it. You sit them down.
Have you been arrested multiple times and each time they took your photo?
No, I actually used to take the photos.
Okay. when you took them, were you actually stealing them?
No, he was a copper.
Oh, I thought maybe he was stealing photos from the cops.
No.
Because that would be ballsy.
The last 10 years or so, it's all been digital, so they just go straight into a computer somewhere and disappear.
No, but the reason I brought it up is it kind of goes this whole thing is, you know, with the Apple Face ID and all that sort of thing, it's like our faces are being scanned constantly, and it's going to be a thing more and more and more, and Apple aren't going to be the first people to do it, and there's going to be a fear around this kind of thing of our identities being scanned for, I don't know, intent. I'm not sure. The thing of Piccadilly Circus is going, we're going to target ads. I'm sure there's probably a more malicious thing in there looking for people who may look a bit dodgy. May look like they're probably doing something they shouldn't be doing. You know.
Maybe you're doing something you shouldn't be doing.
I always have, Gary.
He's always got a Mac on.
That's tit for tat.
I don't see how this camera is going to be able to do it anyway, because people that walk past Piccadilly Circus, there's hundreds, if not thousands per minute. I mean, how's that camera?
Well, it's 100 million a month.
Does it pick up who it doesn't pick up and change the advertisement every second, otherwise you wouldn't have time to read it, surely? Or is it just going to take there's more women at the moment, so we'll put some sanitary towels up, and, oh, there's more men now, so we'll put beer or something, or whatever. I just don't see that it's going to be all that useful.
Thanks for those stereotypes there.
I was going to say you went men beer, women's sanitary towel. Sorry.
Well, it wouldn't be men sanitary towels. To be fair, would it? So
well, you can't you? They do one for men now.
Well, they're for pissing your pants more than when you're old. Yeah. Those are the ones you buy. Don't say that they're sanitary towels because they're not.
They're useful for going on the beer though.
They're pee pads, you old fart. So, I mean, the problem that you've got is there is no, surveillance is loosely regulated about when you can put a surveillance camera up and where it can point and that kind of stuff. But if you're gathering unidentifiable data, because they're not keeping an image of your face and checking it against a record or a bank or anything like that, they don't know how many times you've passed. It is only gender-based and that kind of stuff. And how is this any different from a bloke standing with a clip cord making a tally of the number of people he thinks are 30-somethings?
Because he doesn't spread it across 100 foot of bloody digital screen.
It doesn't.
Keeps it on a clipboard.
No, it's not putting your picture up, you muppet.
No, but from what they're saying, he's going to put relevant information based on what they think that is relevant to you on the screen.
Yeah, but it's not. I
know that you can't be identified for that.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be your name. It's going to be right. You're a 30-something male, who by their facial features is from East Anglia. So
They're going to put a donkey sanctuary
on. Why on earth put a dating site up is what it's going to say.
Shut up. What you're saying is, I walk through Piccadilly Circus, they're going to put my sister's phone number up on there, aren't you?
No, I wasn't going to say that. I was
bloody you were going that way.
I was calling you an ugly bastard. What's the point in putting a dating agency up?
I'm the freaking poster boy of BTN, you can shut up.
Oh, God. Rich, you'll be very quiet.
Yeah, I have nothing to say.
You never have anything to say on this show. I don't know why we invite you. And then you bring a story that's a cool
thing. I'm sorry.
Go on.
It's a big telly, isn't it? And they've put cameras in it, and it'll identify things in people. This was inevitable, wasn't it?
Yes. Really? Absolutely. Well said, Rich. Thanks
and at the end of the day, what are you going to do?
There's nothing you can do, because there's nothing wrong with it.
Exactly. My neighbour had a security camera up that was filming our house for ages. You just ignore it after a while. Although now I've said that out loud, it's starting to worry about what
it's rankled.
I don't think they can point their camera at your property.
No, they can't. You've got to.
No, they can't. But you did.
Yeah, but then you can ask him to shift it all.
Yeah, he can only cover up to your property edge. I mean, my next door neighbour has asked me to put my camera over to point over to his property. So.
Yeah, absolutely. He's gone now and taken it down, so it doesn't really matter. But he kind of put it up because his girlfriend parked a car outside our neighbour's house and went on holiday for a week and someone let her tyres down. I don't know anything about that. But that's why he ended up putting it up.
Are you ready for this? Because I think this is brilliant. Deep Pan says, do you think this might be a fake story just to get people to look up at the ads that are playing on there? And it's got actually nothing to do with anything else that's going on. It's just a piece of shit to get you to look at the ads. Because no one looks at the ads anymore.
It's a 790 square meter screen. I think getting people to look at it might not necessarily be that much of a challenge.
No, I think you'd be surprised. No. I think people don't notice it at all. That's the point. Yeah, no, because I go down to Piccadilly Square and I never look at that thing. As far as I'm concerned, it's still scrolling Sanyo around it and TDK.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, I think that's really good point.
That's when you're older, that's why you see that all every time.
Don't get down with Paul and be doing Prozac. And
that's all I remember. That's the only thing I can ever remember about. And I've been down to Piccadilly Square because there's a place called Piccadilly One and there's a place called the Institute down there, Piccadilly Institute. And I've shot corporate events at both of those and I cannot tell you what was on that board. It says it hasn't been on since January and I've been down there twice at those venues. I didn't even know it wasn't on.
So can we do a BTN Patreon experiment where we'll all go down every single weekend? And work out which adverts we all get. If I get Delia Smith's cookbook, we know it works.
I don't think it's that, mate. They won't know you from Norwich. It's not like you're Mongolian or something typical Egyptian features or Sudanese features or whatever. It's you're a mix of.
I'll be older than Adam.
No, I can't. I can't finish that sentence. That's unfair. I promised I wouldn't do that joke. Could you do this in the States, Carrie?
To have cameras out pointing at public and at your neighbor's property? There's no assumption of privacy in public places.
Well, there is.
And despite all of the cameras Las Vegas has, there sure doesn't seem to be much footage of the shooter that we've seen. But I don't understand that at all. I mean, Las Vegas is one of the most heavily filmed or monitored areas. Each casino has probably over 1,000 cameras.
Well, they're at the crap tables and stuff like that, though, aren't they?
Well, they're everywhere. They're in the parking garages. They're outside. They're certainly a lot in the casinos themselves, but even in the hallways, the elevators, everywhere. So explain that to me.
Yeah, they should have picked him up in the hallways, surely.
You'd think. You'd think. So either they've got it, they're not releasing it, or they don't have it.
Okay.
Well, they're probably not releasing it because they want to use it in court. You can't put it out in the public domain, otherwise it's...
Well, they're not going to prosecute him, are they?
Well, yeah.
I was going to say, what are they going to do?
There's still going to be court issues. There's going to be all sorts. There's going to be civil suits yet.
Well, I would just think if there was footage, that there wouldn't be a conspiracy of everybody working together, hiding their footage, that we would have seen it from multiple locations, from the parking garage to just his days before, et cetera, et cetera. But he's just a face in a crowd. We have security through obscurity. Nobody knows who the heck we are, so nobody cares. Yeah. Is our security.
Probably good most point. Of the people are shot with people in the crowd pulling out guns and shooting someone and then getting shot by somebody else. I wonder how many people got shot by personal carriers.
No, stop. We're not making a joke out of that situation.
It's not a joke. That's an observation.
I don't think anyone shot anyone else in the crowd. That's not probably not going to happen. There's nothing you can do to stop this.
Conspiracy stuff.
But I'm not doing conspiracy stuff. That's just for unintelligent people. The thing with this, though, Wrighty, is that you can't stop it. It's not illegal. And they're not doing anything that, as long as you can prove they're not recording your face and sticking it on a database, which I suppose they're not, or they're doing it so that you actually look at the bloody board.
Okay.
The reality is we're all nobody and nobody cares. And the fact that we have a bit of narcissism in thinking our lives are so important that other people care. They don't. Unless you're in the public eye, if you're a sports figure or a politician or somebody in the public eye, you just blend in with everybody else. Most of us will live and die with the vast majority of the planet never knowing we were ever here. So there is your wonderful news for today.
Thanks, mate.
I feel so much better.
Now you want a Prozac.
Yeah, if I was walking past there right now.
No, I mean, Mac Jim in our Slack room, I've outed him, there you go, without permission. He said, I'm not having one of those Google Assistant spyware devices or Amazon Assistant spyware devices. And I'm like, they're not spying on you, mate. Yeah, Christ, you really think that Amazon's collecting data on you, swearing at the fact that you burnt your tea? It's not happening.
Well, as we covered on the Big Show last week, the Google one was.
Yeah, they've forgotten to switch it off on one demo unit. Let's put it in perspective, right?
Yeah, I know, but it's a pretty damning thing for a personal assistant.
Yeah, but it was only one unit, wasn't it?
Well, it was one unit that reported it, but they were probably all doing it. And that was hundreds and hundreds of developers and journalists who got their copies at the Google event.
I was talking to Rob, GB Regnick, who comes in the chat room regularly today, and he said he had his Amazon Alexa on, his Amazon Echo on, underneath his TV, and he was playing the country music channel on it for a few weeks because he didn't have any music. Before it all, the Amazon and Echo had always played rock music to him, and he said, play me some music. And after 2 weeks afterwards, he thought, oh, I'll use the Amazon. So he said, play me some music, Gertrude. And she played him all country music. She didn't play him any rock and pop, which is what she was playing before when she asked him. So he thought, they've been listening to my music choices over the TV. They've adapted it accordingly. But I don't know about that. But that was just anecdotal of what he told me.
So. Psychologically, it's interesting that you refer to Alexa as she. And just find that fascinating.
Well, she's got a female voice. Why wouldn't I?
It's neither he nor she. You're anthropomorphizing it.
No, I'm not. It's got a female voice attached to it. So they're already guiding me towards feeling feminine.
Michael Jackson had a female voice. Would you call him a she?
What is it tonight? Are you not just looking for...
I don't know. I'm in a mood.
Who's got the next story then? Let's get this over and done with before someone lynches me.
I got three stories you can pick. We've got the Windows...
Rich is in.
Yeah, I'm in. I always go last. I thought I'd get in quick. Did I mention on this show that Sonic the Hedgehog and Sega were teaming up with Hooters in Japan to promote the new Sonic game?
No, but this sounds fantastic as a story.
Well, they were doing that. They announced it last month at the Tokyo Game Show with a big man dressed as Sonic the Hedgehog and a couple of Japanese Hooters girls. And this week, the promotional material has begun to be displayed in store. It is grim, mainly because it looks like they have executed by hanging a number of Sonic the Hedgehogs. And because in general, the whole idea is quite upsetting and distressing. And you really just have to see the photos. If you scroll down on that page you've got up there, you'll see the really, really disturbing imagery of what they've done to promote this game.
And they, I'm just amazed that the number of years that Hooters has been open, they still can't make tops that fit the waitresses.
No. It's terrible, isn't it?
They must have more than one size of... Why are they hanging them round by the neck?
Exactly.
And that's attracting the kids market.
And what I've also had pointed out to me is the shoes that Sonic the Hedgehog is wearing in this photo. That's actually... And I'm just repeating what I've been told. I think it's from a Sonic game that was like a number of Sonic games ago. These aren't new things. They've got these out of the back of a cupboard somewhere. These like must be 10 years old or whatever, these plushy toys. They're not for the new Sonic game. In other news, I've heard that the new Sonic game is unplayably awful.
They're already dead, so...
Exactly.
Can I please ask what the relationship with Hooters is?
None whatsoever.
Well,
Sega wanted to promote the game, and they went, "Hey, Hooters, you're a thing. Can we promote our game?" And Hooters went, "Well, give us money." And they said, "Okay." And Hooters said, "Okay." And now there's dead hedgehogs in Hooters.
So we had a Hooters here in Birmingham, and now we don't have a Hooters in Birmingham. And I don't know of any Hooters at all in the whole of the UK. Is Hooters still a thing and still popular in America, Gary?
Yes, they're still a thing.
There's still a thing. There's still plenty of them.
In fact, we've got a competitor. We've got two competitors to Hooters. One's called Tilted Kilt, which is an American take on an Irish pub, which is ridiculous, where the girls are wearing very, very short kilts and tight tops. And then we've got another one called Twin Mountain. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't make this up.
No, that's good. So, Rich... this is Hooters. Yes. Hooters, I guess, is probably quite popular in Japan.
I'm guessing so. According to this, they have a number of locations in Tokyo alone.
Yeah, and so it does say that this kind of collaboration is not uncommon.
It may well be. I haven't heard of anyone doing this with Hooters before. They do all sorts of product tie-ins with computer games now, but
yeah,
it says this one, it was just a little sort of kids game Hooters. So,
collaborations like this aren't uncommon in Japan, but typically both the game company and the eatery put some effort into it. But not this time.
Yeah, they really look like they couldn't be asked, to be honest.
Well, they have, to be fair to them, they have put some Sonic-themed food together. There is a Sonic chili dog.
Yeah,
I don't recall those from the first game, I have to say.
Not any of the following games.
There are,
as
Sonic,
far as I'm aware,
there are Sonic curly fries. But this is the one that absolutely flummoxes me. What's the one foodstuff that you would have as a gimmick in a Sonic restaurant?
Onion rings.
Onion rings. There we go. And there's no onion rings.
No. Can I just say, For the Americans that are listening, you are not referring to the Sonic restaurant. We have a restaurant chain here called Sonic.
Oh, okay.
And they serve hot dogs, and they serve onion rings, and they serve whatever the other thing was you mentioned. And it's
chili
called
dogs.
Sonic.
Oh, okay, right. Well, that's not the Sonic restaurant, no. This is Sonic the Hedgehog, the game, the video game, has paired up with Hooters in Japan. There you go. And there's a blue drink. I don't get the blue drink thing.
Yeah, they don't even say what it tastes of. In my mind, blue drinks, I'm thinking sort of raspberry
energy
kind of thing, but this is Japan. It could be like eel. Or I don't know.
Teakpan says that Twin Mountains is a topless bar that also handles data archiving.
Twin Peaks was the name of it, not Twin Mountains. My bad.
Twin Peaks, got you. Laura Palmer lives on. It might not be.
And I would also agree with Batwench in the chat room there, saying that Japanese ladies are not known for being particularly chesty. I did feel that I am more chesty than the Hooters girls in the photo there.
Picture, yeah. Mm.
But hey, that made me just feel a bit bad about myself.
It is the tight pants a little as well. So, but, I went. The last time I went into Hooters was in a place up around Lake Michigan. I want to say Punxsutawney, but that's not it, because that was Groundhog Day. It began with a P, though, and It was an experience.
I wish I had my vocabulary the last time I went to Hooters, but I don't have that.
Your vocabulary?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
I've never been able to say it the last time I went to Hooters, because I've never done it.
Oh, okay.
And when you say the last time you went, that implies multiple visits as well.
True.
Yeah, I've been to Hooters several times.
Food's all right.
Well, that's what I hear.
No, the food was okay, and the beer was decent, and the view was decent.
Yeah.
And I told my wife about it. In fact, I brought a picture back of me stood next to one of the waitresses, and I was wearing a Hooters T-shirt that I'd bought, which is still up in me cupboard. And then there's another picture of the waitress wearing my T-shirt, except all you can see is her feet out the bottom, because she's about 4'11" Japanese girl, tall Korean girl.
And he's never washed it.
No, I've still got the picture somewhere. I need to find it. I'll find that picture and I shall bring it in for you. There you go.
Thing is, I'm so out of shape that if I went to Hooters, they're trying to employ me.
Oh, because your tits are big enough.
Yeah.
Righty's moobs. He's got the moobs like Jagger.
I have.
Good story, Rich. I enjoyed that one.
You're awesome.
That was all right, man. That's the best story you've ever bought.
Okay, I thought you'd like it. I'm pleased with that. Then.
You're on the
that's
way
good.
Up. Yeah, you're good now. I'll take all that I said back. Anyway, don't ask for a glass of milk. Not sure I get that. Right.
Oh, I just got that, yeah.
I got that.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Carrie, what story have you brought? You've only got one.
Oh, I got to choose between the three, the WPA2 crack, the new Windows 10 release, and the new Roku coming out.
Roku you can leave alone because we don't get it in the UK, so that's fine.
Okay.
So I'd go for the WPA2 crack. Go on.
All right, let's talk about the WPA2 crack. I ironically had just done a couple of videos with some folks that are engineers
from
in
Hooters
Wi-Fi.
To
that
crack. But go on, sorry. From Hooters
Say
to
again?
Crack. From Hooters to crack, but go on.
Yeah, well, it's... keeping with the theme. So we were just talking about how secure WPA2 is and how you should use that on your router and every device. And shortly after that, Murphy's Law kicked in and said, this isn't so secure anymore. And then everybody freaked out. But I just want to take a moment to set everybody at ease. Now that you're panicked, if you didn't know about it before, and you should be, you don't need to be. If you're running a Windows device, Windows was already patched prior to the news announcement being made for obvious reasons. Apple devices were patched. People that are going to have a problem generally are corporations, enterprise type hardware, Cisco hardware, things of that nature that will probably be patched, I'm assuming, very, very soon. And for the most part, home users really wouldn't be a target of it anyway because it is quite a bit of work to crack it. But here we are. I mean, it's... what was considered uncrackable and the best security, you know, that you could use it with peace of mind, WPA2, turns out not so much. But again, on the Windows platform and the Apple platform, you're going to be good. Where you're going to have problems if you have an older, unsupported phone, that isn't going to get patched, presumably.
So for Android phones, is that anything from sort of early to mid 2017 then?
Probably. Now, I know people, look, these cell phones are expensive. By the way, Ewan, look at what I got. Can you believe it?
Hang on, what have you got? Show it again, that was too fast. I was on
too fast.
The story, yeah. You got a Windows phone? No, you've got an 8.
No. Yeah. Wow, you're good.
Thanks, man.
I got rid of the flip phone after all these years and finally became one of the sheeple.
So now I carry around
a computer in my pocket instead of a phone. But
so
that's
you're
all right.
An Android.
But this is a supported phone. Obviously, it'll be patched. But older versions of Android OS, obviously, I don't think will be. So if you're somebody who's got an older Android phone, the WPA2 thing may be a bit of a concern. Best to use your data plan where you can, or to just keep in mind that the WPA2 has been cracked. And supported devices will be patched, and it is a pretty big deal.
You've gone from Symbian to KitKat Android.
That's what I do.
That's a leap, mate. That really is a frigging leap. top job, mate.
Hey, if something's worth doing.
Yeah, no. If you get on something you like, then well done. 41% of Android devices are vulnerable to this and won't be fixed.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Android won't 6.
Be fixed.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
But the thing is, this is not a current actual vulnerability. It's been going mental. It's not a current vulnerability. There's a white paper that describes the vulnerability in WPA2. The person has to be in reach of your Wi-Fi. At the moment, there's lots of patches coming out. Like Harry says, Microsoft patched theirs. Betas of iOS and High Sierra have patched theirs. I think before that we actually have any sort of kind of attack, there's going to be the things in place. I think people love this kind of thing where there's a security vulnerability and people want to go mental about it. This isn't the biggest one that there is. There are bigger ones. The Roku one that came out this week is worse. The BitLocker thing and the encryption thing is worse than this. It's not like the web vulnerabilities we had before. But like Harry says, the problem is with things like Android and even more IoT devices, because a lot of IoT devices are dodgy webcams, baby monitors, and those sort of things. Everyone's like, patch your router. That's not the thing. The client is the thing that's the problem. And
well,
with carriers and that sort of thing, that's the major issue.
And again, what I see as a technician and what we continually hear over and over and over again is anytime there's a big data breach, here in the U.S. with the Equifax, which is the worst in history, that's, you know, why did that happen? Because the guy didn't patch the system. So these patches often exist, and then the companies and the individuals don't apply them. And that's really where the problem is, right? It's not so much the threat or the patch. It's the human in the middle that's not allowing the patch or is not aware of the patch. And that's where our security breaches come from. We had a store here called TJ Maxx a few years ago that they were still running WEP on their wireless network. And of course, they got hacked. We've had the Sonic restaurants I'd mentioned recently got hacked. We've had Wendy's restaurants hacked, Home Depot and Lowe's, home improvement stores hacked, the IRS hacked. When Equifax, which has your first name, last name, multiple addresses you've lived at, your age, your birthday, of course, your birthday, and your social security number, once that's out, you are potentially hacked for the rest of your life. The U.S. government does not reissue social security numbers. Once that information's out, it's out forever, and you will now have to watchdog that until you die. And not because you did anything wrong, but because Equifax did not apply the patch that was made available months before they were hacked. And that's where the problem lies.
I suppose the fact that us as consumers, you know, we bear the brunt of this kind of, it's not inadequacy, it's, you know, because the thing with the WPA2 is a hack. It's something that was probably always going to happen because all security things have a flaw. But getting it to update, we talk about it, you know, we'll probably check that our routers are updated, that we're on the latest operating systems, that our computers are updated. But all those people out there who have the old Android phones or the webcam they bought from Amazon 3 years ago, the best thing to say to them is take them off of your network because they could be seriously compromised. It's not going to, you know, the nerds of the world will be safe, but the general population, absolutely screwed.
And if someone, again, I think a lot of the responsibility goes to the corporations for not instituting their security properly. It does require both the consumer and the corporation to cooperate with one another. And the consumers, in my experience, treat their computers and their phones like toasters. They have the same toaster for 20 years. They treat it like it's an appliance you can turn on and turn off as needed. Stick it in the closet for a year, take it out, start using it. You can't treat a computer that way. The internet's evolving far too quickly and people don't respect that. So the corporations, at the very least, should. And when they're not doing it, it's just a difficult war to win.
Exactly. We see carry, or probably, certainly we carry the NIT, and all of us, you know, we all become those people who look after IT and our families, don't we? You know, you get called on to look after this and look after that, and if a new update for your operating system that your wife, daughter, mother's, aunt's, whatever's phones come out, you say, please update. You know, don't wait for the thing that bugs you. Update now. And we do that and we help people out. But there are hundreds upon hundreds of millions of people who just sit there with the things being out of date forever. But and they're the people who are sitting, most affected.
People are going to be sitting thinking, right, I know I've got WPA2 on my router at home, but they're not the people that are going to be vulnerable through this particularly. It's not the drive-by attack, if you like, but of the average punter, is it? It's at the, as Carrie says, it's at the corporate level.
Yeah, it's not likely, and we'll come back to what I said earlier. You're nobody. Nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
And why would they? But a corporation or somewhere where they can make a statement, where they can be have a presence to be seen, that's more likely to be the target, and also the one more likely to not have the patch, if history has shown us anything.
Yeah. Serious problem.
Mm.
Definitely. But there was an embargo on this, wasn't there? So it was down for two or three months.
Giving Microsoft for an Apple time to apply the patch before they went and announced it to the media.
Yeah.
But then the media announces it and everybody freaks out like Chicken Little and the sky is falling, and I'm here to say it's okay, everything's fine, and it's the corporations that really need to worry.
Thank you, Uncle Carrie.
Yeah. But that is the point. The news outlets have picked up on this as the news stories to try and freak people out. Where, like Carrie said, it's not something that you really got to worry about right now. You've got to take action. But they love it for the clickbait. They love to just scare people.
It's a lot of profit in scaring people.
Yeah.
Good story, mate. Thank you very much. What have you got for us, Muller?
Oh, that was my story, but I've got a fallback story, though this one's been done to death in the news today. It's the story about mobile companies continuing to charge some people, I know it doesn't affect you, me and a couple of others, after they've paid for their handset so that their bill keeps reflecting that they're still paying, so they haven't reduced it down to a SIM-only or upgraded. I've got no sympathy with people, personally honest, that they all moan that the companies aren't contacting them to let them know that their contract's finished and they can now either take a new phone or reduce the bill. They're putting the onus on back onto you, and if you're too stupid to look at your bill, then I don't think you've got an awful lot that could be said about it.
Hasn't it always been this way?
Yeah, of course it has. Yeah.
Like, always. And now it's suddenly a thing. And do you know what colours my opinion with this is that, you know, all these people are the people who are like, I don't need a new phone. This one works well for me. You people with your new, and they're like, oh, f*** off. Just go. And now they're suffering and I'm happy about that. Sorry, that was my irritating non-phone nerd voice.
I don't mind, but you don't say anything during the show and then you come out with a big f*** off in the middle of 43 minutes. That I've got a bleep.
Oh, sorry, I forget to yeah, sorry.
No, I'd rather you can say all the you like. Just join in the show at the same time while you're using them. That'd be great.
Okay, sorry. I'm with you, Muller. This is, yeah.
It's a bit of a non-story. I mean, I know in the password. Well, it is a story, isn't it?
Now the thing is that you've got with a lot of these places is, I agree that once your contract lapses, then they just carry on charging the same amount until you go, oi, why are you still charging me the same amount?
And then they'll knock you down a bit, yeah.
But I've had an issue with Vodafone over having a data dongle that I asked them to cancel, and all I got from was, you need to write a letter.
What?
It's 2017, and I've got to write a letter. You're having a laugh.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be a letter on paper that goes to a postal address, and then we'll tell you whether we'll allow you to cancel the contract. I can't just stop the payment. I can't, there's no transfer for it because it's a data dongle. And they're telling me I've got to write a letter to cancel it.
Do you know that's a lie as well?
Yeah,
shout at them on the phone enough and they will cancel it.
But I can't get them to cancel it.
Of course they told you to write a letter because that's meant to just sort of stand in your way and stop you doing it.
Yeah, because some people are just too lazy.
Yeah. And we all are, but honestly, I think it was with Vodafone. I basically just got angry with them on the phone for long enough. The guy was just like, "Right, it's cancelled. Can you go now?" And that was it.
All right. I'll give you the number. You can do it on my behalf then.
I'll go. I don't mind. I like shouting at people over the phone. It's a nice little fun pastime.
As far as I'm aware, verbal is a cancellation, isn't it? And it's on the phone. They record the telephone calls. You got to record it, mate. Cancel it.
Yeah. I'm sad. I have. When I renew any contract, I'm sad enough to put the end date in my online calendar. Yeah, I know when it's coming up.
No, good lad. Well done.
And I phone them up and I go, do you know what? I know my contract's coming up. Screw you. I've got 100 other people to go to. And the last one I did was my home broadband, my Infinity.
I've got to say, Righty, if you start with the contract, that 100 other people's getting less and less.
Especially in Norfolk.
It might be worth mentioning
mobile,
as well.
Can't get mobile money connections there. I have to walk out my brother's house up the lane.
See, I was trying to make a good point, and I get this.
No, you're making a good point, but you said, you know, right, screw you. If you start your phone conversations that way, mate, it's...
No, I don't. I'll go back. So what I normally do, I start on these online chat things, and I'm not normally up to contract date. Well, BT will do something really sly. They'll go, right, we'll send you the new BT Home Hub for free. And I'm like, oh, am I out of contract? Check my calendar. Yes, I am. I'll get on the online chat and I'll get through to God knows where. And they'll go, we can set you £2.50 on your bill every month. And I'm like, £2.50? And this year I did the same thing. And I went online and had a chat and said, no, £2.50 is no good for me. You've got plenty of the competition. And this is the thing, that people don't play competition against each other. And I got on the phone with someone in the end, and I got £15 off a month, got the home over free, and I'm a happy boy. You know, people just need to use their blooming consumer rights and just know when their contracts end. They sign up for a contract for 2 years. They must know when that 2 years ends.
Hello, my name's Paul Wright. You may remember me from the big screen board at Piccadilly.
Shut up.
I was the depressed looking one in the corner.
On the face of man nappies.
No, that's Muller. That's absolutely Muller. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm Prozac, ain't I?
I couldn't believe it when you sent that message. I was in the middle of KFC in Cambridge giggling. Oh, dear.
Batwin says she's got a rolling month SIM-only contract and buy the phone separately as well. I have a good SIM deal and don't want to lose it. I've been without a SIM contract since 2000.
You mean a phone contract? SIM only?
No, it's 1998. I had a Sony Ericsson, the T61. Had a really shrill ringtone because I was in a really noisy workplace at the time. I remember buying it. And I bought that. So that was the first phone I bought SIM-free. And ever since, I've always bought phones. I've never had a contract phone.
They were too expensive to buy outright at one time, though.
Well, I paid a lot of money for that. Yeah, I paid £400 or £500 for it back in 98.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of money to buy outright. I mean, an iPhone's what? £800-900?
Yeah, but you go to Apple now and pay them £30 a month and they'll let you have it.
They will. I think the problem is that when you look at... I'm just looking at the Three website as an example. There is no separation between phone cost and service charge. There's just, this costs £60 a month. That's all there is. And so they're not mentioning that, oh, you're actually buying the phone as well, even though we know you are. They don't mention it. They don't say that by this point you will have paid for the phone. Mm. And then you can just drop down to service charges. Mm. So it's... I think people just need to pay more attention to what they're doing. I kind of don't get how you're not just counting down the days till you can get a new phone. At that point.
The thing I think is quite interesting in this is that in the whole story that Muller's listed in the thing, it mentions Citizen Advice Bureau repeatedly, but it doesn't mention Ofcom, not once. And I think that's telling, because if it was something that was contrary to public benefit, Ofcom would be involved and Ofcom would be rolling heads. And they're not. They're not even mentioning this. This is just a story whipped up by the BBC and Citizen Advice Bureau.
Well, I just think it's something you could do yourself. I mean, I've done it. I remember having a phone from EE or something like that.
Yeah, but what they're doing is not wrong. That's going to what Rich is saying.
No. Yeah, I agree. And I just think people should, like Righty does, put it in your phone. You know, when your contract's finished. Like, for instance, with my my Apple upgrade program, I can renew after 12 months, or I could let it roll for 20 and just not pay anything and keep the phone. And at the moment, the iPhone 8 has got nothing that really that is making me think about upgrading. So unless there's a new 9 or an 11, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably just keep the 7 till it falls apart. I just do what... Well, yeah. Sorry, I'm jumping in. Carry on.
That's your story.
That's exactly what I did. You know, I came to my 6 and worked out the price of getting an 8 because it was announced, and I didn't think I'd need an 8 because it wasn't as good as I thought. I got this 7 Plus. Okay, it's the high-end 128 gig, you know, 7 Plus, 130 quid. So 730 quid. Because the price dropped, it was nice. But I worked that out over 2 years, and you save a hell of a lot of money buying outright. And when I went into the phone stores and I said, look, you're currently paying £15 a month for 30 gig of data, they said, we can't beat it. And I thought, well, you're never going to beat it, so I'm going to stay SIM free forever.
I probably will.
But I mean, people don't know that, because some people just think the monthly cost of the phone and the contract is just enough for what they get.
It is funny that O2 does list the phone and the contract. And I think I was with O2, and they used to contact you at the end of your contract to offer you upgrades. I think mainly to keep you on board so that they could make more money from you.
See, this is the hard part, is that I think there's quite a few of us here have probably not been in contract for quite a while with phones, apart from Carrie, maybe.
My 3 ones out by went down in February, so I'm just paying.
Yeah, I'm only on monthly.
You know, I'm very much in contract and still get calls from my network trying to sell me a phone. I got one yesterday. Do you want to buy a new phone? I got one 2 months ago. Does anyone else in the house want a phone? Well, she got one 1 month ago. No.
You got like 5 phones in your itch.
No, I've got one phone. I'm down to one. I've been at one for a while. I did have 3. That was my peak.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, but I've been on one phone for ages now.
He's got to have one for his drug dealing, hasn't he?
That's it. You've got to have a burner and one for your secret girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Or in my case, it was unfortunately much sadder because I wanted an Android and a Windows phone as well. So
why? Just is that like a Salice? It's there to torture you.
It's honestly, it's because I like buying technology. But if I were to try and justify it to you in the way that I did at the time, it was probably like, well, I've got to know about all these different phone operating systems so I can talk about them. And I really want to build an app as well for the website. So Android's a good place to start. And I can't do that without an Android phone. So I need one of those as well. And so before you know it, you've got more phones than you know what to do with.
The Apple
phone. And a good sort of drug dealing route as well.
The Apple phone digs into your wallet and the Android phone digs into your conscience. So.
It dug into my soul. It was awful.
Exactly, yeah. Good story.
Honestly, I still want to find someone at HTC and shake them while shouting, why did you put that camera in there? Why did you do that? It was not a good idea.
Is it the Pixel? Form.
It was the M8, the one with the
four. Was good, it's, wasn't it?
No, they went the route of it's 4 megapixels, but the pixels are twice as big. And you say, so does that take better pictures then? Like, no, it's just what we're doing. Okay, so you get tiny little 4 megapixel pictures that aren't really big enough to do anything with.
Yeah, okay.
It was a bit rubbish, really. So they didn't look bad. They were just tiny and ultimately useless.
Yeah, I mean, the light apertures in the sensor, if they're bigger, you get higher quality. You do get a higher quality, but it won't be double. No.
Yeah, I believe they've abandoned that way of doing it now. But it was something they were trying to differentiate with, and, you know, because they didn't have a great reputation with photography at the time, and that didn't help them, unfortunately. So
Batwing says, how can a pixel be twice as big? It's not a pixel's a pixel, but what we're saying is the sensor, the tube on the sensor that gathers the light, the bigger that is, the more light can get in. The more light gets in, the less hard the processor has to work to convert the image, so you get better quality. So if you look back at the Canon 300D, that used to take amazing pictures, and it was only 600, it was only 6 megapixels. But you could blow those up to A3 quite comfortably. They'd hold their own because the quality of the light that was gathered was extremely good. But it still got granular after that, so.
Yeah.
There you go. And if you, have you still got your 300D, Carrie?
I owned a 300D, did I?
Yeah, you owned a Canon 300D. It was, what was yours be? It would be the Rebel T2.
Oh, I had the Rebel.
The Rebel T2.
Which was the first sub $1,000 DSLR when it came out, and that's why I bought it.
Yeah. And you said...
And now I've got the T3i, something like that.
Right, okay. I remember you and me having an exchange on Computer America over which was the better quality photo.
I think we were talking about some point-and-shoot cameras, and you were liking this Panasonic.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see what you were seeing.
Okay, that's still the same today for most people. I live in a world on my own. This podcast and others is brought to you by UK2. Please support them because they support us. We love them to bits. We have a great relationship with them, which we really value. And by supporting our network, you can support our sponsors, and UK2 are one of them. Get anything that you need for the web from them and enjoy what they do. Also, think of Hoya, because Hoya are a good partner of BTN. 15 of their machines now for Unico have been sold. They're going to be out there after Christmas with people using them. So you too can now go and get your Hoya glasses fitted. Backwash pointed out, are those your new Hoya glasses? Yes, they are. But they're not Unico's. They're a set of other ones that I've got made. But they got my new prescription in because I'm going blind slowly. And do you remember that we ran a Spider 5 Express competition?
Oh, yes.
Yes, right. We've got a winner for the second one. We've done three. We're going to do three of these. So we've done the first one, which was won by Darren Hendley. The second one was won by... Thanks for the drum roll, Muller. Alex Velos. Alex, nice. If you are a listener, then you'll write to me at britishjetnetwork@gmail.com with your full address, and we will send you a Spider 5 Express to enjoy. He correctly identified that the four primary colours in printing are cyan, magenta, yellow, and key. Well done. Those of you that just wrote black. Shame on you.
Idiots.
So, Alex, well done, mate. If you send us your full postal address, we'll get one sent out to you from Datacolor. Well done. The last unit will be given away in the shows in November. So you'll get it just in time for Christmas. I'm sorry. Someone do some DIY.
Oh, that's me outside, Paul. I'm
trying to get in.
Shut your face.
That's Alex. Well done, mate. Send us your postal address. Right. Time for the cool thing. It starts off, Mr. Holtzman.
My cool thingy, oh, my battery's dying. My cool thingy is a gimbal for a smartphone called Smoove, S-M-O-V-E. It's an Indiegogo project where the gimbal actually has a battery pack that will power your smartphone, and you can have it track you. Like, you can lay the gimbal, set the gimbal on a table or something, and as you walk around the room, it will follow you. And of course, it works as a gimbal where you can run with it, and instead of the picture going up and down, it pictures nice and smooth. It sounds too good to be true. It's very reasonably priced. I definitely want to check one out.
How are you spelling smooth? S M O
O V, like Victor E. Smooth.
Is the two O's?
Smove. Well, move is M O V E, right? So, last I checked.
It's too hard. You need to put
S M O V E. You know what? Let me put a link in here in the chat for you. Shame on me. I should have done that.
Smooth stabilizer.
There we go.
That's it.
The gimbal stabilizer. Call it what you will. It looks awesome.
Let me just throw up. I can edit. Don't worry. Smooth stabilizer. I think I've seen this one. Is this the one that they pass around and they do a 360 with it?
on I don't know.
I've seen it on advertised on Facebook, and it's like they rotate it around 365 degrees, and it still stays, keeps the iPhone in the right aspect. $149.
Yeah, and $189 for the Pro version, and the Pro version looks a little better to me.
Oh, right, okay.
At least during the Indiegogo campaign. Then I think after that, who knows what the pricing will be.
Yeah, yeah, no. Brilliant, that's the second stabilizer we've had on the show today. We had the other one, the Steadicam Vault on the Mac show, which James said was excellent. Mm. He gave a demo, and it was really, really good. Cool thing, mate. Have you got something for us, Muller?
Yep. Bit of a boring one, but I've just bought some screwdrivers. I was trying to take apart a piece of electronic equipment the other day, and I screwed all the screws up because wasn't using the right kit. So I purchased this, and I've now opened the box quite easily. It's quite a neat little box, and it has all the different little screw bits that you need.
That looks very like the iFixit toolkit.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But it's cheaper.
It's significantly cheaper because it's $10.99, whereas I paid something stupid.
Yeah. Oh, I should have brought it over, but I forgot. Yeah, it's quite good. I'll bring it over next time to have a look at it. But it does what I needed anyway, so...
And it's available on Prime.
Yeah, so you can get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You've got 1 hour, 21 minutes.
Cool.
Super. You don't need it. You've got enough screwdrivers.
No, I've got a What's It kit, so I'm all right. Cool, well done. Rich, what have you for us, mate?
I am afraid I've got another kind of boring one that comes with a bit of a reminder slash warning for our viewers and listeners. This week, my car has been making the most horrible noises and sort of some smoky stuff coming out of it from under the engine. Not good things. Obviously, I know a lot about cars, given how well I described that. But I managed to put a video of this up on Facebook and asked my friends, is this a bad thing? And of course it is. And based on the suggestions, I want to remind everybody this. Probably check the oil in your car every so often. I have never checked the oil in my car. And the first time I went to do it, there was none. So my cool thing this week is about 2 liters of engine oil, which I think we should all take steps to remember that we need to buy from time to time, apparently.
I thought you were going to say dipstick then. Because that would have been apt.
Yeah, the dipstick's fine.
He needs that.
No, he's not. He should check his oil more often.
Yeah.
I saw that video.
Oh, dude, I can't believe you let me set you up for that one.
Yeah, I know.
You need that new AA dongle, don't you, that goes into your car and lets the AA know if your car's broken.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is a thing.
I need that. You're absolutely right. If you're can on, I if get you're, it from the AA?
AA do it, yeah. It's part of their service now.
They're, just literally plugs, my new car.
It plugs in this in your... I think it plugs in your cigarette lighter.
But what? How does it do it?
I don't know. I've just seen the adverts for it. Have a look. I think we can do that. Google it.
What is this? Car Genie.
Car Genie, that's it.
Predict, yeah. Prevent, and protect your car from breaking down. Welcome to the next generation of driving.
Doesn't work my new cash guy.
Checks on your car's health and letting you know about any faults, keeps a watch on the battery, knowing your car's location so you can find it if it's been moved.
I presume
or
they could
stolen,
fit,
I assume.
They could fit it to the computer though, couldn't they?
I have to say, before I got into computers, I went to school to become an auto mechanic, and I know quite a bit about cars, and you should not have to add oil to your car unless something's wrong with your car.
That's what I thought as well.
And you should have a light on the dash or some indicator if the oil starts getting low. If you're saying the oil was empty, that seems maybe an exaggeration because your engine wouldn't run for very long without any oil. Your timing, if you have a timing belt, as most cars do, it would just break and the car won't run anymore. But and you should be getting your oil changed, depending on if you're running synthetic or not, anywhere from every 3 to 6 months. I don't know how often you're doing it.
Okay. I mean, basically what you've just listed is lots of things I've never done, regularly.
Well, here's the thing. So in your owner's manual that came with your car, in the back of it, it's going to say what the interval should be between oil changes. And if you're going so long without an oil change that you're eventually burning up all your oil, it's either that or destroying your engine. It's one or the other. So, clean oil. As you're driving the car is sucking in air, and in the air there's particles. The particles get into the oil, and over time, the oil turns from a nice clear to a dark black. Those particles then get into these bearings, which have very, very tight tolerances, and they'll scratch the bearings, which then cause catastrophic engine failure. You will start to burn oil, which is not good for the environment. Every car's been this way since the modern combustion engine, internal combustion engine, was invented. We're talking about a four-stroke engine. So a two-stroke engine naturally burns oil. So that would be things like lawnmowers, and they all emit a lot of smoke, and they're just really dirty, and you have to continually add oil to those cars. So if you care about your car and you want it to last, forget about the car wash. You need to change that oil religiously. And if you just do that one thing, you will have a car, provided you don't get into an accident or anything like that, you will have a car, statistically speaking, that will last years and years and years and years and years.
I'm going to start doing all of that. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I have to tell you, modern BMWs do not have a dipstick. So you cannot check the oil in a modern BMW vehicle. Just telling you, it's not possible.
See, I did think, like, where is the oil gone then? If it needs oil, like, where does that go? So
car burns.
It burns with the fuel in the combustion chamber and then goes out. Your exhaust pipe is blue smoke. If you see blue smoke coming out of the back of any vehicle, that's the look of burning oil.
It's usually because the seals have gone.
It could be seals. It could be walruses.
Oh, God. The car genie plugs into the ODBI port. That's why. That's how it can do it.
ODB2. Onboard Diagnostics version 2. Yeah. OBD2.
You can buy them on Amazon, actually.
But you're looking at a really high-tech solution for a very simple fix that doesn't require anything high-tech. There's nothing you're going to plug into your OBD2 port that's going to change your oil for you.
Oh, no, but it warns you about other problems, though, doesn't it?
When the light comes on?
See, I've not had a warning light either. That's the weird thing with it. I think probably that thing's broken as well.
You could have a broken sensor, but the problem is when you get these alerts, you're told after there's a problem.
Yeah.
Generally, right? You want to know, do you want to be preventive and proactive, or do you want to be reactive? I prefer to be proactive and prevent the problem. You spend a little bit of money now so that you don't have to spend a lot more later.
Makes sense.
Rich, back when she's saying if you go to local further education college, they'll have a motor vehicle department which runs classes in basic car maintenance for beginners and adults. Why a beginner and an adult separate, I don't know. But there you go, mate. Thank you. Carrie, I think your video's frozen on Skype, by the way. You need to restart it. Or you weren't stood in front of your cooker when you did all that.
Oh, he's teleported.
Oh, I had to change the battery out in the camera. Yeah, okay, thank you.
That's all right, mate. I'm worried.
And to respond to the question, how did I pass my test? Just barely, I think, is the barely, answer yes. there.
Yes, jolly good. Well done. Righty boy.
Well, next Friday is anticipated for me the new season of Stranger Things on Netflix. So we're furiously rewatching it at the moment. But on iOS at the moment, there's a free Stranger Things game. So got it here. It's a little adventure game. Richard loved this because it's very Zelda-esque in its kind of thing. So you kind of get little tasks and all those sort of things. Really good touchscreen adaptation of a game, kind of Zelda kind of thing. It's not that long. We've been playing it. Stranger Things is a great TV show. Watching the second time round, seeing things I didn't see the first time round. So really excited to see the second series. But you know, for a free game, I know it's an advert for a TV show on Netflix, but it's better than the new Star Trek.
Excellent, mate. I like that.
Cheers.
Good one. I've got a couple of things. I've got one pick for you, but the one thing I do want to show you is some fun I had last weekend. And I just wanted to just props to IKEA for making the best AR app that is out there. I was out working at Moorgate Station and I was waiting for one operation to finish while the next one started, and I was sat around and I started skimming through my phone and found the app, downloaded it and had to play with it. This is an IKEA sofa superimposed in artificial reality onto the station platform at Moorgate.
Really?
And a table. There you go. That's how good it is. It looks incredibly awesome. It looks incredibly realistic. And I was walking around it and showing people it, and people were looking at it and then like doing a double take away from the screen, like, hang on, is it there or isn't it there? It was that good. So there you go. And then I got home, I thought, I'll test it, I'll see if it's any good. And I did this on the Mac show and showed everyone. So the picture on the left, I got a stool out and I got Bryony to sit down with a stool on the right-hand side. And I put it down, I'm like, well, that's the wrong scale, that's no good, that's crap. And then I realised I'd actually picked the higher stool, the one that's bigger than the ones that we've got. So the right-hand picture is me picking the correct stool that's the same as the ones we've got. And you can see there, the perspective is absolutely spot on. And what I really love about it is look how subtle the shadow is underneath that's cast. I think that's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Well done, IKEA, for making the best AR app for stuff that you can do. And it to scale, it is absolutely spot on, right the way down to the little vases and stuff like that they do. It is exact, so well done. My cool thing is declutter for your Mac. It's if you're not very good with the desktop, and you're only a proper Mac user, supposedly, if you've got a clear desktop. You don't do desktop icons. I unfortunately am not one of those people. I do have a lot of stuff on my desktop, but what I tended to put it into a thing that just had, it was a folder that just said desktop shite, so any of the old stuff just got dragged and dropped in there and that was it. And then I found this application declutter. You run it and basically it takes all of the crap that you've got on your desktop and it puts it into pretty fine folders, and it starts off with photos, video, documents, that kind of stuff, and then you just filter it amongst it, and you can add to it if you want, and they're rather tasteful coloured folders that sit on your desktop, and you can just drag stuff into them rather than cluttering your desktop up, so you only get three or four icons and that's your lot. And it's also part of the SetApp application, which if you get that, that's £69, and you get over 75 applications that will work on your Mac. And I've joined them this week, and I've got 7 of them running on my Mac as I speak, so including Clean My Mac 3, which is the greatest application ever made for keeping your Mac clean. Mm. And free of crap, without question. So get set up, and you get declutter free as part of that. So
I'm a big fan of SetApp. I got that a couple of months ago. It's really good.
Well worth the money. And there's a lot of apps in there that I wouldn't use, like the dev tools, but there's a load of stuff in there I really will use, definitely. I just need to sit down and figure out how to work it out properly. Where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Holtzman?
Well, be sure and check out my YouTube channel, doing a lot of live videos now. Did a live build of installing the new Windows 10 update, just whatever happened, and show everybody what the process is, and lots of stuff like that over at carryholzman.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for joining us, and don't be long before you come back. There's a good fellow. All right. Where are you, Muller?
Well, today I'm here. Muller Biker on Twitter. Next Friday I'll be on the A14 driving hell for leather down to Norwich.
To see Wrighty?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And I've got to compliment you on your microphone technique this evening, Muller. It's been rather good, actually.
Has it? Oh, good.
Yeah, well done, mate. It's nearly shit, but that's you're all right tonight. Rich, where are you, mate?
I'm over at simplysyndicated.com. All that stuff's still going off, and like the live show, we're on to episode 3 now. Feels like we've been doing it for ages. So come and check all that stuff out.
Excellent. Mate. Well done. And last but by no means least, Wrighty Boy.
Paul on Twitter, mate. We're at BTN. RichNetwork.com, and hang out with Rich on Sunday at simplysyndicated.com.
When I'm on time.
Yeah, never.
Always.
Never.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week on Friday at 4 p.m. with the Mac Show, going live from the BTN studios here in the middle of nowhere. And Wrighty will be taking over with the Big Show at 8 p.m. now that he's agreed to do it. So
it'll be apparently, awesome. Yeah.
I asked. I didn't tell.
You did. You did. You do it on air, and I've got to say yes.
Bit of a feisty show tonight. We'll be back again this week. See you then. Thanks for listening. Apparently we wave now.
Bye.
For those of you on the audio podcast, we're waving. Still waving. Come on, live. We're not waving. Bye. Body's waving.